All right, let's dive into a scenario. Imagine you're, comfortably employed, doing well, and then this amazing new job opportunity just pops up, They promise you job security, a great work environment,
The whole nine yards.
all the perks, exactly.
Right.
And you decide to go for it, maybe even you make a few sacrifices to make it happen. You settle in, you're thinking, this is it, long-term career move.
Right.
Years go by, everything's smooth sailing, and then all of a sudden, bam. You're fired.
Oof.
That sounds pretty awful, right?
Definitely not ideal.
Well, this is exactly what happened to Walton Wiener in the case we're going to unpack today, Wiener v. McGraw-Hill.
Wiener v. McGraw-Hill. This case is really interesting, I think, because it kind of throws a wrench in this whole traditional idea of what we call at-will employment.
Right.
So we're going to kind of explore how something as simple as an employee handbook
Right.
can actually turn into a legally binding contract.
That's wild, right?
And we'll talk about how this case has impacted the workplace even today.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's rewind all the way back to 1969. Walton Wiener's working at Prentice Hall, seems pretty content with his situation. But then McGraw-Hill walks in. They're like, hey, Wiener, we want you on our team. And to sweeten the deal even further, they're like, look, we have this just cause termination policy. We don't just fire people for no reason. We have a whole process. We try to rehabilitate you before we let you go. So they really made it seem like they cared about their employees.
Yeah, they're trying to emphasize that stability, that security that
Right.
you don't necessarily have in a typical at-will situation.
Exactly.
And the key detail here is that this promise, it wasn't just something they said casually in a job interview.
Right.
It was explicitly stated in their employee handbook.
Ooh, that's a big difference.
And then to make things even spicier, Wiener's application actually referenced the handbook.
Oh, wow.
So he acknowledges, hey, I've seen this handbook. I'm aware of what's in it.
So he's like, I'm holding you to this. So, based on these assurances, Wiener decides to take the leap,
Makes sense.
leaves Prentice Hall, forfeits some benefits, and he dedicates 8 years of his life to McGraw-Hill.
8 years.
8 years. Even turned down other job offers.
He really bought into this, huh?
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't? Do you think you've found a stable and secure long-term career?
Absolutely.
And then, boom, fast forward to 1977, the story takes a turn, right?
Okay, what happened?
McGraw-Hill says, hey, Wiener, we're letting you go.
Oh, no.
Lack of application. That was their reason.
Lack of application.
Wait a minute, but what about their just cause promise?
What happened to all the,
What happened to all those promises?
the security they emphasized?
Exactly, yeah. So you can imagine how Wiener must felt, right?
Oh, I bet he was furious.
Totally betrayed. He made major career decisions based on these assurances. So naturally, he files a lawsuit alleging breach of contract.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And this is where it gets interesting from a legal perspective.
Okay, lay it on me.
This case didn't just stay in one courtroom, it bounced around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, different courts highlighting how kind of uncertain people were about what these handbooks actually meant legally.
So it's not just a simple open and shut case. There's some ambiguity here.
Exactly. And initially, the lower courts, they sided with McGraw-Hill.
Oh,
They were
interesting.
like, nah, handbooks, they're not really legally binding contracts.
Okay, so they're just guidelines, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. But then the Court of Appeal stepped in and they're like, hold up, not so fast.
All right, so someone's pumping the brakes.
He basically said this case deserves another look.
So they're seeing something that the lower courts maybe missed.
Exactly, yeah. So the big question became, did McGraw-Hill's actions, specifically those promises outlined in the handbook, did they actually create a real contract? Did that limit their power to just fire Wiener at will?
Huge
What
question.
did the Court of Appeals decide?
That's what we want to know.
Did they create a contract?
What was the verdict?
Okay, so in a landmark decision, the Court of Appeals sided with Wiener. They said, yes, that handbook, it did create a
A
contract.
real contract.
So that's a pretty big deal,
It
right?
is. It really sets a precedent.
What was the court's reasoning?
What made them see it that way?
What led them to see the handbook as this binding agreement?
Spill the tea.
All right, so the court, they focused on a few key points. The first one, inducement and reliance. So McGraw-Hill, they lured Wiener away from his stable job at Prentice Hall with these promises, right? Job security, a clear process if they were going to fire him.
Yeah, they painted a pretty picture.
Exactly. And Wiener, acting like any reasonable person would, relied on those promises.
Yeah, it makes sense.
He took action. He made sacrifices based on those assurances.
That's a big deal.
It's like they made this promise, and he held up his end of the bargain.
Right.
Now they got to hold up there.
Exactly. There's an obligation there.
Seems pretty fair, right?
I guess it does.
And there's the handbook itself.
Okay.
Remember, his application actually referenced it.
Right, right.
The court was like, well, that reference basically made the handbook, those just cause provisions, it made it part of his contract.
Ah, so it's not just a separate document anymore. It's integrated into the agreement.
It's like they were saying, look, we mean this. We expect you to take it seriously.
Right. It's not just some suggestion tucked away in a drawer somewhere. It's right. actually part of the deal.
Exactly. Yeah. So their actions made those promises legally binding.
That's a pretty big shift, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge.
For employment law.
But they didn't stop there. The court also looked at McGraw-Hill's behavior.
Okay.
Over those 8 years, Wiener got promotions.
So they were clearly happy with his work.
Exactly. So they were satisfied with his work. And when they did fire people, they followed the steps in the handbook.
They weren't just ignoring their own rules.
Exactly. They were practicing what they preached.
Right. So their actions were consistent with what they were saying in the handbook.
Yeah. It wasn't just talk.
Yeah.
They actually backed it up.
Right.
So it wasn't just about what was written. It was about their actions, how they handled things.
Yeah. It's about the whole picture.
Their actions showed they meant for that handbook to be a legally binding document.
That's a pretty big shift in how we think about contracts, right?
It's a huge change.
It's not just about the words on the page anymore. Yeah. It's about how you actually behave, how you actually act.
This is so interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff.
This feels like a big win for employees.
It is. It definitely shifts the balance of power a bit.
But I'm guessing not everyone was happy about it.
Well, you know, anytime there's a big legal decision like this, there are going to be different perspectives.
Right. Who dissented and why?
So Judge Wattler, he wasn't really on board with this whole handbooks as contracts idea.
Hmm, interesting.
He was worried that if employees could sue over every little thing in a handbook,
right,
businesses would be swamped with lawsuits.
Okay.
He thought it would be this huge burden on companies, especially in New York.
Right. So he's thinking about the practical implications for businesses.
Exactly. And he thought it might even scare companies away from doing business here.
Okay, that's a valid concern.
Right.
He basically wanted to stick with that stricter at-will view.
Right, keep it simple.
Yeah, and he argued that the handbook wasn't specific enough to actually be a contract.
So he's drawing a line in the sand there.
So he's saying it has to be super, super specific.
Right, no room for interpretation.
Yeah, okay, so we've got this dissenting opinion, but the court also kind of tried to provide some guidelines to help navigate these situations, right?
Well, he did, yeah.
What did they come up with?
So from the Wiener case, we got this framework, this kind of test that future courts could use when they're looking at similar cases.
That's helpful. It provides some clarity.
Yeah, exactly.
We love those questions.
All right. So first, does the handbook actually limit the employer's right to fire someone?
Okay.
So are there clear statements about just cause termination or specific procedures they have to follow?
Got it.
Second, did the employee rely on those promises and did it hurt them in some way?
Okay.
So did they quit a job, turn down another offer, move, something like that, based on thinking they had this job security?
Right. So there has to be some real consequence.
Exactly.
Not just, oh, I thought I was going to be here forever.
Right. It has to be tangible.
Yeah.
Oh. Third, did the employee even know about these policies in the handbook?
So they can't just claim ignorance. They have to have been aware.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And what's the last one?
Last but not least, what does the whole situation tell us about the relationship between the employer and the employee?
Okay.
Was the handbook treated like a serious document, or was it just collecting dust on a shelf somewhere?
So they're looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah, the whole context.
Yeah, so it's not just a checklist. It's about understanding the nuances.
Right. The court has to look at everything.
Mm. So the Wiener case, it's a big win for employees, right?
It is. It shows that actions speak louder than words. It's not just about fancy legal documents.
Right. Your actions can create promises.
Exactly. You can be held accountable for what you do, not just what you write down.
But it's also a warning to employers, right?
Oh, absolutely.
To be really careful about what they put in those handbooks.
And how they act, how they actually handle things.
It's like a whole new level of responsibility.
Yes, that's a big deal.
So much to think about. This is a good point to pause, take it all in.
Yeah, let it sink in a bit.
We've gone over the specifics of the Wiener case, both sides of the argument, the court's decision.
It's a lot to process.
And we've just started to touch on the bigger impact.
And there's a lot more to unpack there.
When we come back, we'll dive even deeper into those implications.
We'll see how Wiener v. McGraw-Hill is still shaping the legal world today.
Be tuned.
It's just the beginning of our deep dive.
Okay, so we're back, and we're picking up our discussion of Wiener v. McGraw-Hill.
Back at it.
And, you know, it's clear this case was a huge deal. It was a game changer.
Absolutely.
It really gave employees more leverage, you know, when it comes to those promises in company handbooks.
Yeah, those promises that used to be kind of vague, you know?
Right, kind of like, here are some suggestions.
Right, take it or leave it.
But now it's like, oh, you better follow these.
Yeah, the stakes got a lot higher for employers.
Yes, a whole new set of rules came out of this case.
You could say that, yeah.
Like a new playbook.
Wiener really forced both employers and employees to look at these handbooks differently. For employers, it was a wake-up call.
Like, uh-oh.
We gotta be more careful what we put in writing.
Yeah, yeah.
Vague language, you know, ambiguous promises, those weren't gonna fly anymore.
So no more beating around the bush.
Right. Clarity became super important.
If you say just cause termination.
You better mean it.
You better have a process to back it up.
And you better follow it.
Right. Or you could be in trouble.
Yeah, there could be legal consequences.
So for employees, what did Wiener do for them?
Well, it reminded them that those handbooks weren't just something to skim through during orientation.
Right, not just some boring paperwork.
Yeah, like there could be real valuable, enforceable rights in there.
Like hidden treasures.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet law students were suddenly paying a lot more attention in employment law class.
I wouldn't be surprised. This case made things a lot more interesting.
But let's break down this Wiener test a little more.
Okay, yeah.
Those four questions we talked about.
It's a good framework to keep in mind.
Just because a handbook has some nice-sounding language doesn't mean the employee automatically wins. Right?
Right. These cases can be tricky.
There's a lot of nuance.
Definitely.
Take that detrimental reliance thing.
Yeah, that's a key part of it.
Employees can't just say, oh, I saw the words just cause, so I thought it was good.
Right. They have to show they actually relied on that promise.
And that they were harmed because of it.
Yeah, real consequences.
Did they turn down a job offer, move, you know, anything like that?
Yeah, something concrete, not just feelings.
And the court's going to look at the whole situation, not just bits and pieces of the handbook.
Right. They want to understand the context.
They'll look at the employer's history, how they've treated other employees.
Yeah, if they've followed their own rules in the past.
It's like putting together a puzzle.
Yeah, all the pieces got to fit together.
And this is where it gets even more interesting.
Okay, I'm listening.
Wiener isn't just about firing people. It's about all those other promises in a handbook.
Right. Promotions, grievance procedures, benefits.
So it affects a lot of things.
A lot of aspects of the employment relationship.
It's not just job security. It's the whole employee experience.
Yeah, Wiener basically said all those things could be legally binding, too.
I bet that led to some interesting cases.
Oh, absolutely. Tons of them.
Any good examples?
Sure. Imagine a company handbook that lays out a very specific way to get promoted.
Like based on seniority, performance reviews, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Okay. Seems pretty standard.
Yeah.
But then they promote someone who doesn't really meet those criteria.
Oh, someone who maybe shouldn't have been promoted.
Right. And they overlook someone more senior.
That's going to cause some drama.
Oh, for sure. That's a recipe for conflict.
But that employee who got passed over.
Yeah.
They could argue that the company broke their contract by not following their own rules.
Right. They didn't stick to what they said in the handbook.
So it's like the handbook is protecting employees from unfair treatment.
Exactly. It's like a shield.
That's pretty powerful.
And this idea, it applies to other things too, like severance packages, benefits, even disciplinary actions.
Wow. So much to think about.
This case really changed the game.
Employment law is complicated.
It is. It's full of twists and turns.
But let's make this personal for a second.
Okay.
Imagine you're an employee.
Uh-huh.
Your company makes a clear promise in the handbook.
Yeah.
You make big decisions based on that promise.
Yes. You rely on it.
And then they go back on their word.
How would that make you feel?
I'd be pretty upset, honestly. I'd probably talk to a lawyer.
That's understandable.
And that's why Wiener v. McGraw-Hill is so important.
It gives employees a way to fight back against unfair treatment.
Right. Hold employers accountable.
It's about fairness and transparency in the workplace.
So we've talked about the employer side, the employee side, the legal stuff.
We've covered a lot of ground.
But what about the bigger picture?
The big question, right.
What does all this mean for the future of work?
How will this case continue to influence the workplace?
It feels like it could have a ripple effect.
Oh, it definitely will.
We've been talking about how Wiener v. McGraw-Hill really change things in the workplace.
Yeah, shake things up a bit.
But what about the long-term impact?
The ripple effects.
How has it influenced employee handbooks, you know, going forward?
That's a good question. We've already seen a shift towards more detailed handbooks.
Right.
You know, trying to make them more legally sound.
Uh-huh.
But I think Wiener might push that even further.
So they're becoming less like loose guidelines.
Right.
And more like, you know, formal contracts.
Exactly. Like mini contracts.
And that could be good and bad.
Yeah. There are two sides to that coin.
On the one hand, it could make things clearer.
Right. More transparency.
Employees know what to expect.
Yeah. And employers have to be more accountable.
So that sounds like a win-win.
It could be, yeah.
But it could also make things a lot more rigid.
True.
Less flexibility.
If every little rule is set in stone.
Right. If it's all a contract.
It could stifle creativity, you know?
Yeah. And the ability to adapt to new situations.
Exactly. Companies need to be able to evolve.
So finding that balance is going to be tricky.
Yeah, that's the challenge.
Now, let's imagine for a second that Wiener had gone the other way.
Okay. Interesting.
What if McGraw-Hill had won?
And the court said handbooks aren't contracts?
What would the workplace look like today?
Ooh, that's a good question.
It's kind of scary to think about, right?
It would be a different world, that's for sure.
Employers could just put anything in those handbooks.
And there'd be no consequences.
All those promises about job security, fair treatment.
And then they turn around and say, oh, we didn't really mean it.
Employees would have no power.
It'd be a really tough situation.
Yeah. A lot more risk for employees.
More unfair dismissals, you know, arbitrary decisions.
It would be a mess.
It wouldn't be good.
So Wiener really was a crucial case.
Absolutely. It protected employees from that kind of scenario.
It forced employers, to be honest.
To be transparent about their policies.
And to really think about what they're putting in writing.
Because words have power.
But Wiener doesn't solve every problem, right?
No, it's not a magic bullet.
There are still challenges in employment law.
It's a complex area.
And it's always changing.
Constantly evolving.
Well, this has been a really eye-opening deep dive.
I agree.
We've learned so much about Wiener v. McGraw-Hill.
It's amazing how one case about a handbook.
Right. Something that seems so simple.
Can lead to such big questions.
About fairness, power dynamics, the future of work.
It really makes you think.
It shows how legal precedents can shape our society.
And how we're always striving for a more just world.
For everyone.
Exactly.
So listeners, I hope you've gained a new appreciation for those employee handbooks.
They're not just boring documents.
And for all the employers out there.
Take a good look at your handbook.
Make sure it's clear, fair, and reflects your values.
It's a reflection of your company culture.
And for employees, know your rights.
Read that handbook carefully.
It's there to protect you.
Knowledge is power.
Well said. Well, I think we've covered it all.
We've explored this case from every angle.
It's been a pleasure discussing Wiener v. McGraw-Hill.
I always enjoy these deep dives.
Me too. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and remember your rights matter.
And remember, the law is always changing.
It's a living thing.
Adapting to the world around us.
That's a great point to end on.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive.
See you next time.